Hello, this is Auntie Bee's Knees with your business report for the week of September 15th. The clearest message coming out of last week's World Trade Organization, or WTO, ministerial in Cancun, Mexico, is that the WTO kills farmers. These were the words written on a placard strung around the neck of Korean farm activist Lee Kyung-hai, and the words he recited alongside a large gathering of activists and riot police last Wednesday, just moments before stabbing himself fatally in the chest. Lee, a 56-year-old leader of South Korea's Advanced Farmers Federation, committed suicide atop the barbed wire fence separating farm workers marching with Via Campesina from WTO negotiators. Facing the direction of the WTO, Lee drew out a Swiss Army knife and stabbed himself in the heart, falling backwards into the crowd. He was rushed to Cancun's General Hospital, where he died 3 hours later during surgery on puncture wounds to his heart and lungs. In a leaflet distributed to the crowd just minutes before his death, Lee Kyung-hai had written, quote, "Soon after the Uruguay Round Agreement was sealed, we Korean farmers realized that our destinies are no longer in our own hands. We cannot seem to do anything to stop the waves that have destroyed our communities, where we have been settled for hundreds of years. To make myself brave, I have tried to find the real reason and the force behind those waves. And I reached the conclusion, here in front of the gates of the WTO, I am crying out my words to you that have for so long boiled in my body. I ask, for whom do you negotiate now, for the people or for yourselves? Stop basing your WTO negotiations on flawed logic and mere diplomatic gestures. Take agriculture out of the WTO system," end quote. Wednesday's Via Campesina march began with a declaration by the Farmer and Indigenous Forum, given to an audience of almost 10,000 farmers, peasants, landless workers, indigenous growers, women, and rural laborers. The declaration called for food security, food sovereignty, a ban on genetically modified foods, and the removal of food and agricultural issues from WTO negotiations. The declaration emphasized that food is a human right, not a commodity, that food production is fundamental to all human existence, and that countries must be able to meet their own food needs first before meeting the demands of intergovernmental agencies and multinational corporations. Many of those gathered wore green t-shirts and caps representing the Via Campesina movement. As the march wended its way toward police barricades, South Korean farm activists carried a traditional funeral coffin decorated with a yellow dragon. The coffin was meant to signify how the opening of Korea's agricultural markets under WTO proposals would lead to the deaths of Korean farm workers. Lee Kyung-hai was part of this delegation. None of his colleagues anticipated that he would take his own life, and his suicide left the group shocked and grieving. More than 100 members of the delegation built a tent city near the barricades where he sacrificed his life. The activists demanded that the WTO end its negotiations out of respect for the dead, and called for South Korea's delegation in particular to pull out of talks. On Thursday, the WTO allowed a group of mourners to march through the Cancun Convention Center carrying candles and flowers in memory of Lee. The marchers carried placards reiterating his message that the WTO kills farmers. Nonetheless, though both the Korean trade delegation and WTO directors expressed sadness at Lee's death, officials maintained that this was a self-inflicted tragedy and refused to acknowledge the larger issues Lee was raising at the barricades. Asked if the U.S. government would consider hearing the grievances of South Korean small farmers, Deputy U.S. Trade Representative Peter Allgaier said that he had no such plans. Lee had spent a lifetime campaigning for farmers' rights and had been excluded from farm policy discussions in his home country and abroad for most of this career. As elsewhere in the world, overproduction and cheap imports after Korean agriculture was liberalized in the past decade resulted in sharply falling prices. In particular, imported rice wiped out the livelihoods of countless formerly self-sufficient Korean farmers. Lee, a graduate of Seoul University, farmed until his land was auctioned off to pay for growing government debt several years ago. He then turned his attention toward fighting for other Korean farmers by joining the Federation of Advanced Farmers, South Korea's largest farm workers organization at more than 1 million members strong. In the course of his work, Lee observed hundreds of neighbors and colleagues driven from their lands and separated from the only livelihood they knew. Last March, he waged a hunger strike at the gates of WTO headquarters in Geneva as the WTO's Committee on Agriculture was drawing up its agenda for last week's Cancun talks. His demands were ignored. Lee's bereaved family, including his wife and two grown children, arrived in Mexico on Saturday to bring his body back to Korea. A massive funeral in honor of all Korean farmers is scheduled for next Sunday to respect Lee's efforts at protecting struggling farm workers. Meanwhile, WTO negotiations continued virtually around the clock behind police barricades in Cancun, but no headway was made on the crucial issue of agricultural subsidies. A draft resolution running 15 pages long was issued on Saturday after 4 days of hectic consultations among 146 gathered trade ministers. But no country was happy with the draft, and negotiations collapsed Sunday evening, with poorer nations claiming a victory and rich nations laying blame. Negotiations on agriculture highlighted some of the sharp divisions between rich and poor countries. Disagreement revolved around the domestic and export subsidies paid by governments to farmers in the U.S. and Europe. Subsidies to farmers in the U.S. and Europe amount to $1 billion each day. Domestic subsidies lead farmers to overproduce and flood the market, dragging down prices and blocking access for poorer countries to markets in richer nations. Export subsidies lead to the dumping of food products from the U.S. and Europe onto poorer nations, making it impossible for small farmers in those nations to compete with the flood of cheap imports. As one example, Mexico's own farmers have been devastated by a sharp drop in corn prices resulting from increased U.S. imports since the North American Free Trade Agreement was implemented in 1993. At the same time, the cost of processed corn tortillas has risen in Mexico by 150%. Meanwhile, many traditional maize crops in Mexico have become contaminated by genetically modified genes from imported U.S. corn. Before 1995, international trade rules under the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, or GATT, were largely ineffective in regulating agricultural trade. The Uruguay round of WTO negotiations from 1986 to 1994 brought agriculture within the realm of the WTO, which set some limits on import tariffs and domestic subsidies. In 2001, agricultural talks at the WTO came under the modified mandate of the Doha Development Agenda. The Doha Declaration committed governments to achieving, quote, substantial improvements in market access, reductions of, with a view to phasing out, all forms of export subsidies, and substantial reductions in trade-distorting domestic support, end quote. The declaration made special and differential treatment for developing countries integral to negotiations, stating that the outcome should enable developing countries to meet their needs for food security and rural development, and that negotiations would take non-trade concerns like environmental and labor standards into account. But since the March 31st deadline for meeting these goals has passed, negotiators at the WTO have been unable to work out issues related to domestic subsidies, tariffs, tariff quotas, export credits, food aid, special provisions for developing countries or for countries that recently joined the WTO, and even how to measure domestic food consumption, a much-needed reference for several provisions. Saturday's WTO draft resolution called for small reductions in domestic subsidies to farmers in developed nations and for an end to export subsidies on farm products deemed to be of special interest to developing countries. But the proposal fell far short of the sweeping elimination of agricultural subsidies promised by the Doha Declaration 2 years ago. Oxfam, one of a few non-governmental organizations with access to the WTO talks, dismissed the draft text proposal as a repackaging exercise that would do little or nothing to stop the export dumping that keeps 900 million small farmers impoverished around the world. Even Canada, which relies on heavy import tariffs to protect domestic agriculture, felt that the draft text would reduce the ability of small economies to protect their domestic farm industries, while doing little to stem the massive government handouts given to farmers in the U.S. and Europe. A new bloc of developing nations, first known as the G21 and now the G23 or more, rejected the draft text proposal as being a sop to U.S. and European Union demands. The G23, led by Brazil, India, and China, and supported by 20 Latin American, African, and Caribbean nations, represents nearly two-thirds of the world's farm workers. This group has insisted that its own framework proposal, first submitted in Geneva in August and reissued as a ministerial document on September 4th, be at the center of any further agriculture negotiations. The G23 proposal asks for the elimination of all export subsidies and for significant cuts in subsidies for domestic farm products. The G23, supported by nearly 50 other developing nations, also stated that they would not move forward on any other or new issues at the WTO until the problem of agricultural subsidies and dumping had been addressed. In response, the European Union blamed the G23 for stalling talks and jeopardizing the Doha development round of negotiations. Europe and the U.S. both demanded that the G23 agree to open their markets to greater foreign investment in return for any concessions on farming. Foreign investment is one of the four so-called Singapore issues that dominated discussion on the final day of WTO negotiations in Cancun. The Singapore issues include loosening foreign investment rules in countries, opening competition, facilitating trade across borders, and providing transparency in government procurement processes. The issues are so named because they were first raised at WTO talks in Singapore in 1996. Against the wishes of 70 developing countries and without an explicit consensus, Saturday's draft resolution contained provisions for proceeding with negotiations on these issues as urged by negotiators from the U.S., Europe, Japan, Taiwan, and South Korea. Proposed rules would allow multinational corporations greater market access to poor countries by eliminating government regulations that protect local industry, a plan that India, Malaysia, and many African countries have opposed vehemently. The proposals would not apply differential rates of tariff reductions for poor countries, something that could have a disastrous effect on developing economies. On the bright side, there must be an explicit consensus before negotiations on these provisions can proceed. If no compromise is achieved, the prospects for negotiating a new global trade deal by a proposed 2005 deadline are highly uncertain. The fact that negotiations could not be concluded before the talks in Cancun were called to a close is being viewed as a triumph by the G23 and other developing countries, who feel that they have conclusively stood up to U.S. and European attempts to weaken their resistance and split emerging coalitions. Throughout the 5 days of negotiations, rumors flew about high-stakes phone calls from the White House to those nations holding out against U.S. and European proposals. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zoellick tried to persuade Costa Rica, Guatemala, and El Salvador to leave the G23, and U.S. President George W. Bush telephoned Brazilian President Lula da Silva as well as the leaders of India, Pakistan, and South Africa to try and persuade them to soften their line at the WTO. In Cancun, the U.S. and Europe called meetings with Malaysia, India, China, Kenya, Mexico, South Africa, and Brazil, apart from the broader negotiations. These meetings, known as green rooms, were closed-door talks where European and American negotiators used high-pressure tactics, bribes, and threats to try and force other countries into submission. The wrap-up of talks in Cancun suggests that even these strong-arm initiatives have failed to sway the minds of disgruntled WTO negotiators. At this point, the future of the WTO remains unclear. The U.S. has threatened to abandon the multilateral trading body altogether in pursuit of bilateral trade agreements where U.S. negotiators are sure to be able to dominate the representatives of smaller economies. Many developing nations have also threatened to leave the WTO. A War on Wants survey that polled 112 WTO delegates from developing countries found that 82% of them felt the WTO was monopolized by rich countries, and 83% felt the organization was undemocratic. Many negotiators from developing nations also expressed reservations about the G23, sensing that it is dominated by the interests of large countries like India and China. But if the G23 is successfully able to strengthen its numbers and provide a viable third path for the so-called development round, there is a chance that the needs of developing nations may finally be brought to the WTO table. In the words of Yvonne Bakke, Ecuador's foreign trade minister, quote, "It's not the end, it's the beginning." That's a wrap for this week's Business Report. Signing off, this is Auntie Beesneys reminding you to put your money where your mouth is and invest ethically.